As it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge, Text 38. Well, I think we will read a couple of verses actually. Read from 36 and then I'll read the purport of 38. Api cheta asipatrebya sarvebya papakritama sarvam jnana plebenaya vrityanam santarishyasi. Even if you are considered to be the most sinful of all sinners, when you are situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, you will be able to cross over the ocean of miseries. Yatai tamsi samidoganiya basmasa kuruterijuna Jnanagni sarvakarmani bhasmasat kurute tata. As a blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, O Arjuna, so does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all reactions to material activities. And 38. Nahigyanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate tatsvayam yoga samsidha kali natmani vindati. In this world, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. And one who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time. Now in the purport by Srila Prabhupada. When we speak of transcendental knowledge, we do so in terms of spiritual understanding. As such, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Ignorance is the cause of our bondage, and knowledge is the cause of our liberation. This knowledge is the mature fruit of devotional service. And when one is situated in transcendental knowledge, he need not search for peace elsewhere, for he enjoys peace within himself. In other words, this knowledge and peace culminate in Krishna consciousness. That is the last word in the Bhagavad Gita. Let me read the verse again. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate tatsvayam yoga samsidha kali natmani vindati. In this world, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. and one who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time. Om Yantamanasya Kanjana Shaka Chakshu Mudamiyana Tasmai Shri Gurudevina Sri Chaitanya Krishna Svatatam Yana Bhutale Swayam Kadalma Yantadati Svatatam Pachkapa Chiribhi Stakri Vasindhya Vyayva Chak Padidana Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavayyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Brahmavityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So ignorance is bondage, knowledge is freedom. If one is in ignorance, then what is the possibility that one will make the right choice in any situation? It'll simply be a question of luck. That's all. But if a person is actually in knowledge in any subject, then they can act decisively and effectively and successfully. Therefore, what do they say? The pen is mightier than the sword. And different things like that people say. Yes, that knowledge is very wonderful, knowledge is very powerful. It's not just a matter of facts and figures, although facts and figures are an element, of course, in knowledge, but beyond just facts and figures, knowledge is there to mold our lives, direct our activities, and give us direction in our lives. And then our lives can be successful. And of course, this point can be applied in the broadest sense, just in ordinary working day life. Just in any situation. But here, of course, Lord Krishna is applying this in terms of transcendental knowledge, that knowledge of our spiritual nature. There is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Because this material knowledge, even though it may help you to get ahead materially, even though it will help you generally to get ahead materially, but this is all in terms of the material body. We need to work in order to provide for the material body. The soul does not need to eat or sleep. The soul does not become ill. So the soul does not need a doctor. The soul is eternal. So, in one sense, it could be said, you cannot die even if you want to. Even if you want to get sick so you don't have to go to work. But the spirit soul cannot get sick even if you want to. It's very amazing, the nature of the pure spirit soul. And that is what we are. But the material body, oh, it is endless. The requirements of the material body, the material mind, and emotions, and so on. So many things we need. And if we get material knowledge, then we will be able to work more effectively, probably, and in that way provide better, probably, for the body, by getting more money, better food, better accommodation, and so on. All these types of things. Better health care, you name it. Yes, but we are not these bodies. We are eternal spiritual persons. And once this body is finished, we will carry on. But if we have not addressed our spiritual needs, then when this body is finished finally, and the soul goes on to the next body, then even though we may have advanced greatly materially in the course of our lives, by becoming qualified, getting a good job, working hard, earning lots of money, getting a big house in Watsonia, with all the Watsonians, and a big motor car or two or three or four or five. In our family, when I was a teenager, we had more cars than people. So, yes. So, but even though one, through cultivating knowledge, getting a good job, and all these things that we mentioned, one may have progressed oneself materially through the course of one's life, so that at the end of one's life, one was in a very affluent, respectable, successful position on the material level. But if we have not facilitated, addressed our spiritual needs, then when that time of death comes, spiritually, we will be in the same position we were in when we started. We will not have moved forward one inch. Oh, maybe we might have even gone backwards. We get too absorbed in material life and eat, drink, and be merry and all that. Then we might go backwards spiritually, even though materially we might apparently have progressed. So, of course, we do not advocate that there is no need to be concerned about your material well-being. We do not advocate, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita does not advocate to be oblivious to these things, like having sufficient material so one can live nicely without anxiety for the necessities of life, and in this way one will be free from many anxieties and pressures which may be there for people who are struggling. So we don't advocate that you just forget about these things. But, of course, we do not advocate that you forget about the spiritual things, which is generally what happens. Rather, they should be in the forefront. Srila Prabhupada said, in fact, it's in one purport here in Bhagavad Gita, I forget which verse, that we should work to live. We should not live to work. A simple little concept. But very important. You should work. You have to work. Do your duty. You should work to live. But don't live to work. Don't just become a slave. And your spiritual life goes down the drain. Actually, your spiritual life should be in the forefront. So, are you a working person who also does Krishna consciousness? Or are you a Krishna conscious person who also works? It's a question of perspective, really. And it is a question of your values. Your values. What you attribute importance to. Yes. This is the fact. So our Krishna consciousness is really very vital. And even if we become Bill Gates II, King of Tonga, Queen of Tonga, take over humans. Even if that happens, but our spiritual development goes nowhere, or backwards even, but say it goes nowhere, then you must know clearly you have failed. You've actually failed. And when you're born in your next lifetime and you have nothing, then that previous lifetime, materially, all the money you had, whatever, however much it was, it will not help you even that much. Yes. So this spiritual cultivation is absolutely vital. To illustrate the point, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of our great acharyas, we've all heard of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote one song called Vidyara Vilase. Vidyara means education. Vilas means pastimes. My educational pastimes. And it is the story of how he went to school and then became qualified materially but neglected his spiritual life, and then came out at the end and realized, wow, I made a big mistake, even though I am materially qualified. And he says in that song, I forget the Bengali exactly, but he says that then I came out with my degree in my hand. And I thought, now I will get a good job and progress further now into the working world. But then I realized that I was no better than a donkey. Together. You may think this is sort of overdoing a donkey. But he says, no, donkey. Because donkey, what is the business of a donkey? Find some food. And how does he find some food? There's food, there's grass growing all over the place. But he feels he has to work for the boss. And the boss at the end of the day will give him a clump of grass. And then he gets the clump of grass and he thinks, just see, I'm successful. I got my grass. As you probably told the story of the donkey, they hang the carrot. They tie a stick sort of on the head or whatever pile of something the donkey is carrying on his back, which is much higher than his head. They stick a stick into the pile of stuff. So the stick is now sticking out over the head of the donkey. And then they hang one carrot from the stick. And the donkey sees the carrot and thinks, aha, it is my lucky day. Here is a carrot. All I have to do is take one step and it will be mine. So he takes one step, but mysteriously, the carrot also takes one step. And he thinks, oh, really? Then thinks, well, no problem. I'll just take another step. And he takes another step. But the carrot takes another step also. It's a very amazing carrot. So he goes the whole day, step after step. Every step is like an episode. Because every step he thinks he's getting the carrot. So after many hundreds of steps during the day, at the end of the day, the boss gives him the carrot. And then the donkey thinks, see, I knew I was right. So people get a degree. They go to the boss. Will you please give me a job? No. You're overqualified. You're underqualified. You want too much. You want too little. So you end up just like a donkey. Just working for the boss as he demands. You cannot do as you want. And this is going on in many ways. It may not be absolutely like that in every detail, but in many ways it's like that. So therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that I finally came out at the end with my degree, and I thought, yes, I have now made it, but then I realized I had become a donkey. Now all of you who are at university and tech and whatnot studying, please don't mind me saying this. But you're not donkeys because you're devotees. So it's okay. You're all right. You're all right. But don't neglect your Krishna consciousness, because this transcendental knowledge, your Krishna consciousness is based on that. If you can be convinced of Krishna and the process of devotional service, and of the devotees, if you can be convinced in these things, then on the basis of your knowledge, then you are on the way. The path back home, back to Godhead, is wide open for you to just dance along until you come to the perfectional point. Yes, so we should study the books and we should understand what's going on in Krishna consciousness. And if there are things we don't understand somehow, we should ask. Of course, sometimes it happens. There's something you want to know in Krishna consciousness, but somehow you cannot ask, or you do not ask. But then one day you're sitting there in the class, and the person giving the class suddenly starts talking about that very subject. And then a little thing in your head goes, click. Wow, listen to that. Did it ever happen to any of you? It's happened to me. My gosh. Uncanny. Completely uncanny. So sometimes like that, and then we get enlightened and it's an impetus for us to progress. But anyway, one way or the other, you just feel free to ask also. Don't be shy to ask. You can be shy about pushing yourself forward and being prominent and you know, all these types of things. You can be shy at that. But don't be shy about asking about Krishna conscious things you don't understand. You must do that. And then you'll progress on the basis of transcendental knowledge. You know, in the 12th chapter, there's a series of verses in which Krishna is discussing about different levels of people, of devotees, starting with the highest, coming to the lowest, and then even those who are not devotees yet. It's very interesting. Krishna says the highest person, highest devotee, is the person who spontaneously remembers him always. Even without trying, just immersed in remembrance of the Lord. Then Krishna says, if you cannot do that, then follow the regulative principles. This is essentially what we are doing, at least those of us who are trying to chant our rounds and follow the four regulative principles and practice Krishna consciousness systematically. This is basically what we're doing. That even though our minds do not just gravitate automatically under any circumstance to Krishna, if there is some distraction, then we may become attracted to it. And we have to sort of train ourselves so that we don't get deviated and we do remain fixed as much as possible. So, Krishna says, if you cannot just remain absorbed spontaneously, automatically, naturally all the time, then practice, cultivate the principles of Krishna consciousness. Chant your rounds, follow the four regulative principles, read the books, attend the programs, and so on like this, systematically. Then he says, Krishna says, if you cannot do that, then work for me. Work for me. Do some work, but dedicate it to Krishna. And Krishna says, if you cannot do that, then give some charity to somebody. Not even to Krishna. Just don't be completely attached. Be at least a little detached. And give some charity. Don't just hang on to everything that comes your way. And in this way, you'll become a little detached from the material world. And then Krishna says, last level, if you cannot do that, if you're just too attached, whatever comes your way, you just have to hoard it and keep it, no matter what. Then Krishna says, then cultivate knowledge. Because then you will gradually come to understand what to do and what not to do. And if you cannot cultivate knowledge, then what? Well, I'm sorry to say, you are then off the scale. You missed out. So therefore, and you know, in every stage going higher, the lower activities are included. You understand? It is like that. It is not that when you've cultivated some knowledge and you're ready to give some charity now, you can forget about the knowledge. And when you come to the point of being ready to work for Krishna, you can forget about charity and knowledge. You understand? And if you're fully absorbed, immersed in remembering Krishna, it's not that you don't need to follow the regulative principles and work for Krishna and be generous and read the books. So you follow. The lower stages are included in the higher stages. So therefore, cultivating knowledge is always vital. Krishna conscious knowledge. We should always read the books regularly. But particularly for those who are newcomers or even pre-newcomer, people are just in material existence. They need to get the knowledge. Otherwise, how will they make the decision that, yes, I should get into Krishna consciousness? How will they make that decision if they don't understand? It is hardly possible. Hardly likely. Therefore, this book distribution is very important. And as you know, it is now, or is it now, or it's coming up? It is now. It is now, here and now, Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution Marathon. So, you know, there are different ways of interesting people in Krishna consciousness. I am very fond of the tent campaign. It is a very nice way to interest people in Krishna consciousness. Prasadam is also nice. But book distribution is the most effective way to introduce people to Krishna consciousness. So therefore, in this marathon, I really hope, I'm praying to Krishna, that as many of you as possible will take some books and distribute them to people and help them. Give them this great gift of transcendental knowledge. So please do that. Is that okay? What do you think? It's okay, yeah? Sure. Is that okay? Definitely. Okay. Deep clouds. Is that okay? Definitely. Right. And get some plays ready for the tin can painter. Yes, because these books are very wonderful. You know, you can explain things to a person, and sometimes you must do that, just verbally sit down with them or whatever and speak to them. But you cannot go home with them and live there unless they're already your family members. But you cannot. You meet someone on the street and you start speaking to them about Krishna consciousness. You cannot just go home and live with them. It's very unlikely. So whenever they want to know something more about Krishna consciousness, there you are. You cannot really do that. But the book, they take the book home. The book is better than you to start off with, better than us to start off with, because Krishna is speaking. And Srila Prabhupada is speaking. They know more than us. They know more than all of us put together, actually. So they take the book home, they're taking Krishna himself, Prabhupada, and they read the book, hopefully, put the book down, come back to it later. Generally this happens, or someone else picks the book up later. It works like this. And then, as soon as they open the book, Krishna speaks to them. Prabhupada speaks to them. Just like that. Even 10 years later, someone picks the book up, opens it up, Krishna speaks to them. Prabhupada speaks to them. 10 years later. You couldn't sit around in their house for 10 years waiting for them to ask a question, could you? It's obviously, it makes no sense. But this makes extremely good sense. So we have experience that many, many people who have become devotees have become devotees, at least initially, because they received some book somehow or other. In many cases, so many cases, I would imagine some of you sitting here have been through an experience like that. And definitely all of us, at some point in our Krishna consciousness, when we've read nicely, we've really felt the benefit. So, give the people Krishna. What more can you give them? You can't give more than Krishna. He's everything. And he's present in the pages of the book. Prabhupada, you know what Prabhupada said? If they read one page, if they read one sentence, if they read one word, Prabhupada said, famous statement in one lecture in Los Angeles, if they read one word, their lives will be changed. So let's try and do like that. Spread Krishna consciousness, help the people, make a real contribution to their lives, and in that way we will get great mercy. The Lord is not ungrateful. If he sees we are trying our best to help others, he will reciprocate with us. Rest assured. 100%, 101%. So let's do that, try our best in the marathon, and I will be here just after Christmas for Sundays, and I will get the report from Aravinda Dalayatakshya Prabhu of how you all did. Is that okay? And if any of you do really well, I'll bring you a special present. Well, I'm not going to Russia actually, so it'll be hard to get you a special present. But I'll make a note, and I'll bring you a special present from Russia after a little while. Is that okay? All right. Okay, so let's do our best. Help the people, and in doing that, we will help ourselves in the best way. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.